Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
John McClain is about to join us. John, before we bring you on the air, David Reed found like 1,500 audio files, and we were going crazy over the last 30 minutes, of different things that have happened over the years with the show, including the time that you were pulled over while on the Rich Eisen show.
Well, who's going to fill Andre Johnson's spot, do you think? Obviously, I know they have a lot of young receivers. Who's going to be this veteran leader on this team? Is it Watt, essentially, now, John?
Well, first of all, at that wide receiver position, Bill O'Brien, oops, Rich, I am getting a ticket for changing lanes without using a signal. And I'll just say this, it's going to be Nate Washington if they play today.
So do you need to go right now, John?
I have got to go because I don't want the cop telling me, get off that cell phone.
John McClain, the long arm
I'm
of the law.
I'm pulled over on the side of Interstate 10.
Okay, well.
Thanks, Rich.
Okay, John, you take care.
The long arm of the law.
Eisen. Okay.
I love how John immediately diagnosed what he did wrong, too.
I love that.
I am getting a ticket for not signaling while changing lanes.
John, did you pay your fine?
He let me go, and I told Rich. Rich had me on the next week to find out how it went, and I said, the officer said, do you know that you changed lanes without using a signal? I said, I do, officer, but I got an excuse. He said, what's that? I said, I was doing an interview with the Rich Eisen show with Rich Eisen, and he goes, oh, well, okay, you better get on your way.
Unbelievable.
Of course, that wasn't true, but John, I did get out of it.
John McClain is with us. You can join him, 615-737-1045.
How could Jerry Jones say he wants 18-game regular season and it'd be safer for the players?
That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. You know, the fact is, like right now, they're hardly playing. So how can playing two more games be safer? I mean, also, you still can't make – if you had 18 games and two preseason games, I don't think they'd play any starters in those two preseason games. It'd be ridiculous because then you're risking injury for games that count. And if you're trying to say you're trying to protect players from concussions, then putting two more games out there is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. But if you give the players enough money, they'll risk it. Most players still today say they'd rather get hit in the head than hit in the knees.
Marquise Lee was hit in the knee. Are we going to see more of these injuries?
He'd rather be hit in the head.
Is that what he said?
No, but if somebody asked him, I guarantee he would say that.
Yeah. And, you know, they're going to Jalen Ramsey, who's now the voice of all defensive players in the league, asking him about the hit. And he's like, look, it's not dirty. Blame the new rule. This is what we're going to have to do. Now, the player was penalized for leading with the helmet on that hit. But players are going to go low now.
Well, I watched that thing over and over, and I thought he used his shoulder. I don't care if he led with it or not. He didn't hit him in the knee with his helmet. So once again, it's and guys get hit low all the time and have their knees blown out. Has nothing to do with the helmet rule. That's happened throughout time. But if that's what Jalen Ramsey thinks, then that's, you know, more power to him.
Phone lines are open. If you want to jump in and talk some football with John McClain, whatever you want to discuss around the NFL, it is fair game with the man in black himself, the legend, John McClain. 615-737-1045. 737-1045.
John, will we get to a point where let's assume that we're sticking with this 4-game preseason and the 16-game regular season for the league? Are we going to get to the point where the league offices tell teams you've got to play starters?
Nope, you can't make them play the starters. Remember when the Hall of Fame game, they asked them to play the starters for a quarter because it was on national TV. They did it for a couple of years and then didn't do it again. You know, you cannot make a team play starter because if you do and then you lose your quarterback for the year, it's going to backfire. All they can do, you're not going to get rid of 4 preseason games without adding regular season games. because the money make owners make regular season profits from those games. Now, they're not, when you only have a third of the stands full, it's pretty obvious you're not getting as much for parking or concessions or beer drinking or anything like that, but that's a small price to pay for the ticket. So I don't know what the answer is. One of the things I'm really curious to see is Sean McVay kept out all his important offensive players, including third-year quarterback Jared Goff. If Goff doesn't skip a beat and he goes out there in the first game, throws three touchdown passes, completed 65%, you wonder, why does anybody, any quarterback need to play unless he's a rookie or unless he's coming off an injury like, say, Deshaun Watson and started only six games as a rookie? But a veteran quarterback, why would you put him out? Yeah, that's something we all need to watch carefully. How do the Rams play early?
John McClain with us, 615-737-1045, 737-1045. John, if you are an Eagles fan, are you concerned at all with Nick Foles' play so far?
I'm concerned with two things. Number one, he's injured. Carson Wentz has not been cleared for contact. There's no way he's going to start. I can't imagine be cleared for contact next week, and then he's starting the first game. Something to keep in mind about Nick Foles. When he had to play last year, there was panic in Philadelphia because he was no good. In that first playoff game against Atlanta, they had a ultra-conservative game plan. And the truth is, Julio Jones had not dropped a pass. Atlanta would have won that game. So in that ultra-conservative game plan, they were worried about Nick Foles. And then he happened to have two best games of his career, the two biggest games of his career. And I remember in off season before the draft, reasonably intelligent NFL people saying, oh, man, I'd seriously consider giving two first-round picks for Nick Foles. And I'm thinking, why? He's had two great games in 5 years. So I think if I'm Philadelphia, I'm worried about it. And I'm wondering, how does Nate Sudfeld fit in? Because Foles could get hurt very easily. Foles is playing, you know, it's last year of his contract. If Sudfeld, if they liked him as a backup, they could trade Foles at some point when quarterbacks start to go down. I believe I saw only 12 teams were able to go the distance with their quarterbacks last year, so they will fall. And that's when you better unload Nick Foles when you can, unless you're going to be happy with getting a third-round compensatory pick for some team foolish enough to give him big bucks.
Tom Brady on WEEI. Here is the exchange that led to all the headlines yesterday where he hung up after saying, gotta go, guys. Nice talking to you. Talk to you soon.
We saw the reports this weekend that that Alex was on the team plane, which he wasn't for the second half of last year, I guess, and not on the sideline. Is that accurate?
Yeah, he was with me this last week, so it was, yeah.
What changed in him not being on the team plane last year and this year?
You know, I'm not getting into all that.
Okay, when I ran into him at the Super Bowl last year in Minneapolis, when I talked to him there, he had said in his opinion that all this stuff had been overblown, that he and Belichick actually had a pretty good relationship even then. Would you say that was true?
I said I don't want to get into it.
Okay, go ahead, Evan.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows, it's well documented how, you know, the work that he and I do together.
No, I know, I understand that. I'm just trying to figure out, because I saw the reports this weekend that he's traveling with the team. Was he on the sideline on Friday?
Yeah. All right, guys, have a great day. I'll talk to you later.
There's Tom Brady on WEI, not talking about Guerrero.
I have less of a problem with him hanging up on them after I heard that. He did say multiple times, I'm not talking about it, and he just kept going back and going back and going back. Not a great job by the host.
Still a baby.
What'd you think, John?
I thought you got to be professional. If you ask a guy a question, he answered it, and if you keep asking him, he says he doesn't want to answer it. You know, you got to act professionally, and I don't blame Brady. I mean, I don't like it. I think he should have just said something like next question or something like that. But he had talked before that and said a lot of good stuff about the Patriots, specifically their wide receivers. I mean, it's amazing the problem they have at wide receiver. And
yes.
I'm keeping close tabs on all that because the Texans open at Foxborough where they've never won. And I think at some point, if somebody says they don't want to talk about something, don't talk about it.
Mark Leibovich is the author of Big Game, the NFL in Dangerous Times. We're starting to learn a little bit about what he has come to conclude after 4 years, I think, working on this. He said, for Peter King, he said, I learned the Jerry Richardson problem is not over. There is real concern that Jerry Richardson is the tip of the iceberg. With obscenely rich and powerful and aggressive people like NFL owners, there can be a commonness of not only acting in a brutish and entitled way, but also simply of being able to pay people off when they try to speak out, indicating that maybe Richardson isn't the first person to try to keep somebody quiet with a big check. What's it do to the league if we find out that more of this is out there?
Well, first of all, I think if he'd had any evidence that that was true, he would have said who it was. But it's, we'd have to be naive to think that these, at one point, millionaires, then multimillionaires, then hundred millionaires, now billionaires, had not paid off women, whether they had relationships with them. I mean, that's as old as the hills. So whether it's going to come out or not, I have no idea. But I've heard stories back when I started covering a team in the 70s about owners having some wild times. Now, whether they had to pay anybody off, whether anybody, nobody went public with anything back then. And most of them, you couldn't prove. You just would hear about it. So that wouldn't surprise me a bit.
Johnny the Poet is next up. Hey, Johnny.
Hello, Mr. McClain. How are you, Johnny?
I'm good, sir. Sir, my situation is dire. In fact, it's tragic. You see, my beautiful Sooner wife has bought into the Mayfield magic. See, I think they'll falter, or should I stay my ground? Or could this, in fact, be the year of the Cleveland Browns?
No, well, number one, happy wife, happy life. You need to remember that. But I know. I mean, people are getting all caught up because of Hard Knocks. I think Baker Mayfield will be the quarterback sooner rather than later. You know, you got Greg Williams and Todd Haley, you know, sniffing around, waiting to try to be the interim coach when Hugh Jackson gets fired. I bought into the Buccaneers last year and picked them to win the division. They got a lot of talent. They seem to be dysfunctional, like the lack of discipline where they're always getting in fights in practice. That's a lack of discipline that I think is going to carry over to the field. I think they're fun. They're better. They got talent. Is Hugh Jackson the coach to bring all that dysfunction together? They got Josh Gordon back. I think they're wise not to bring Dez Bryant into that. They already got Antonio Callaway with his issues. So they've taken chances on some players. I hope if they win five games after what they've done the last 2 years, Hugh Jackson have to be a coach of the year candidate.
John is a true pro that he just, without flinching, responded to a poem as a question. Didn't faze him one bit. Loved it.
I mean, this is a guy that gets arrested. Poet. He gets arrested on his way to
the show poet.
To the facility.
That's the first poem in question form that Johnny's ever called in with. That was terrific.
Well done, Johnny the Poet. Good to hear from you. We go to Darren next. Hey, Darren.
Hey, guys. Questions for kind of John and Paul. Seeing a lot more nowadays, like Rashad Evans, for example, a one-year starter at these really high-depth college teams like Alabama and LSU and places like that. Can you compare the value that a GM and a head coach in the draft room sees for a fresh body coming out of college versus maybe a three-year starter where you can see his bounce back from injury ability and his durability? It seems like a big question mark taking these guys that haven't played that much in college, so you really don't know the durability. To me, a bust is a bust whether you fail on the field or you don't see the field. If you guys could comment on that, that would be great. Thank you.
I'd be happy to. You can't label a guy bust who's a rookie. I've seen guys that didn't do squat as a rookie. Look at Jared Goff. I've seen guys go till their third year before they did anything. So you don't want an injury history because that means the guy's been hurt a lot. And if you're going to take a player from a big-time program like Alabama, all those guys have to wait. And that's something that you consider. But Rashawn Evans could end up in the Hall of Fame. You can't judge him right now based on what's happened to them up to this early, early point of his career.
Yeah, and I think ultimately when you're drafting him, you're evaluating the football he did play. It's not like he wasn't on the field. He was on the field in different and smaller roles. He waited his turn. He's coming out of a great program where he had great success, where he had great coaching. You put those things on the one side of the scale, while on the other side you might be putting another guy started for 3 years. The Titans have certainly put a lot on the production side of the scale, and Evans was very productive when he played. He played at a program where you don't start the first day you arrive on campus.
How many years did Chance Warmack start there? He was a multi-year starter, wasn't he?
Yes.
And he didn't squat really.
I mean, his contract expired.
But he was never as good as he was supposed to be. So every case has to be taken individually. And if you take a 1 year starter at Alabama, it's not like he's a 1 year starter at Baylor.
I want to say Warmack started as a freshman at Alabama, but we need to go back and look. But he started multiple years.
I feel comfortable saying he started at least.
Oh, started three. At Alabama. Yeah. Got you.
Phone lines are open. If you want to talk some NFL with John McClain, 615-737-1045, 737-1045.
John, Peter King seems high on the Seattle Seahawks. Are you?
No. But it's easy to get high on people when you go spend time with them. You go behind the scenes with them, and they tell you, you know, they're confident in what they believe and what they hope for. It's easy to get caught up in that. You know, the best thing they got going is Russell Wilson. But if you look at them, they have an iffy offensive line. Their running game is suspect. And their secondary has been decimated. And I'm guessing Earl Thomas will be back next week. But they still got two good linebackers. I think the Rams ran off and left them last year. It wouldn't surprise me if the 49ers don't do it this year. I think I picked Seattle 7-9.
Someone on Twitter asked us, and I lost my place here, if you believe the Titans and Colts are battling for third place in the AFC South this year.
I picked the Titans, the Texans, and the Jaguars to go to the playoffs. So I think Indianapolis is the last place team. The other three are competing for first place. And if Andrew Luck stays healthy, he will play. The Colts will play a role in who wins a division.
John, Odell Beckham Jr. got paid. What did you think of the contract, and what did you think about the route he took to get paid this offseason?
Well, first of all, anytime it's leaked by an agent, it's going to be more than it is. Florio broke it down. It's not 95. It was 90. Now, people like my wife would go, what's the big deal? I said, well, don't you want to be accurate? And Florio had a great breakdown of it yesterday. That's the only thing I've seen that yet that is accurate. But it's great for him. And Florio explains why he took it, even though it doesn't make him higher paid. It didn't get more of a guarantee than some other non-quarterbacks. But I thought, other than that video or picture of him in bed, looked like smoking pot with a woman, he has minded his P's and Q's. You know, he's had a lot of controversy throughout his career. Now, I wonder that he's got all that money. Has he grown up? Will we not see him involved in any more controversy? I'm guessing, yes, we will. But the guy's an extraordinary receiver. He's coming off a broken ankle. He's key to what the Giants want to do on offense, along with Saquon Barkley. Eli Manning needed him at the end of his career. I like the fact that he came in and got it. That should make Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack and Earl Thomas wonder, well, what if they had taken that avenue? Now, I think Aaron Donald, according to Florio, is about to sign, but if you didn't get what you wanted, like Le'Veon Bell, I wonder, should I have been there? Should I have handled it like Odell Beckham Jr.?
To the phones, Slappy Fess is next up. What's up, Slappy?
Players, we 7 days away. We're gonna be getting it on next week. And John, if you fly on down, I'll promise you at our fantasy draft, you'll have a natty with the slap daddy.
Thanks a lot, Slappy.
my question is some of these rumors I've heard today, John, involve maybe a trade with Golden Tate going to New England. Now, I can maybe see why they would want to do that to get back to the Deion Branch days, but I don't know if it would be a smart move.
number one, he's probably still got Russell Wilson's first wife's digit still on speed dial. And then number two, are you going to send him to New England where their sponsor's Dunkin' Donuts? Because we all know how Golden loves him some donuts.
First of all, Slappy, I don't think Matthew Stafford would like that. They're trying to win a division, in a tough division, with Green Bay and Minnesota. And the thing with Golden Tate, here's how it got started. Mike Reese, who covers the Patriots for ESPN.com, wrote on his personal website, didn't say there was anything to it. He was just saying this is something they should consider. And he did not put that on his ESPN job. So that's where it came to. There's nothing to Golden Tate and the Patriots.
What do you think about Mac to the Lions?
Don't Have you think seen that? Wait. I don't buy for a second that they're considering Khalil Mack. Just more stuff from the media that somebody puts out there. Like yesterday, there was a talk show host in Detroit. And this happens all the time. I'm sure it's happened to you guys. It happened to me. When there's something, the rumor, this guy said a limo driver who he knows and trusts said he just dropped off Khalil Mack at the Lions.
Yeah.
Beat writers quickly shot it down who were at the facility, said nothing to it. And the beat writers are the ones that I tend to trust because they're there all day, every day. And I know I've had that happen. And why in the world would they trade Khalil Mack? He's going to make almost $13 million. I don't see him sitting out beyond next week. I think he'll be back next week. He'll be in the lineup, probably pull a hamstring. So many guys that miss a lot of time because they work out really hard. They come in and they think they're ready to go. Oops, pulled hamstring. But I think Khalil Mack will be there. I think I mentioned this to you guys before, but I was fascinated by it. Speculation by somebody on what kind of contract Mack could get. And then saying if he waited and they back-ended it till they got to Nevada, that he could make an extra $2.1 million a year avoiding California taxes compared to the taxes in Nevada. $2.1 million a year just for doing it in a different state.
That is not insignificant also when you put it that way.
Let's go to Houston next. What's up?
Hey, guys. John, I want to talk about Deshaun Watson. I got to see him live while I lived in South Carolina for 2 years. And I noticed, looking at it now in the preseason, it seems like he's really getting the ball out of his hand a lot faster. But what's more impressive, I think, is just the velocity that's coming with the ball as well. And I'm just curious, is that just been a product of his offseason work, or is that just Bill O'Brien being that quarterback whisperer?
Well, I was stunned when I go back and like to read college reports before the draft, even old ones, just to see things that are said. One of the knocks on Watson, besides he ran a lot, was that he wasn't accurate and he didn't have a real good arm. And then he came here and he threw the ball very hard. He doesn't have a cannon like Patrick Mahomes, but few do. But arm strength is not an issue here. And he's played behind a terrible offensive line, so when he's got a bad one again, even though it's got four new starters. And so everything they want to do is faster. They want him getting that. There's a clock in his head that they work on all the time. Get that ball out. And so I think you'll see a lot of that. But his arm strength is good. He had 8 interceptions last year, and I saw one site that predicted he would have more than any in the league. And 4 of those interceptions, because I charted them, were not his fault. You have to always look at that. Whose fault is the interception before you go saying a guy's not accurate? But they love Watson. But he's going to spend a lot of time throwing on the move because his line's not going to give him a lot of protection.
John, I have the rare college football question for you. Your alma mater, Baylor. I've been reading a lot about Jalen Hurd this offseason and his move to wide receiver. What's the expectation from Baylor people about what he could be in that offense at wide receiver?
He's the only 5-star recruit at Baylor, and I still do not know why he went there because he elected to go there after Art Briles left. Now, if Art Briles was there and they're averaging 60 points a game and throwing it all over the place, I could understand it. But he went in. They are loaded at wide receiver. Now, he is almost 6'4", And I'm sure they were tempted to play him at running back, but they're loaded at receiver. They got good enough backs. They have a quarterback named Charlie Brewer, started half the season as a true freshman. So their offense would be prolific. And when Matt Rhule was here talking to his annual Baylor Day at the Touchdown Club of Houston, he went on and on about how good Hurd's been on the field, off the field, in the classroom, leadership. So they crank it up Saturday, and I'm really eager to see him play.
John, thank you as always. We will preview the final week of the preseason with you later this week.
Guys, I look forward to it. Thank you very much as always.
Yep. John McClain with us every Tuesday and Friday.